everybody. Welcome to this week's session. I am Cynthia Garrett, and joining me, as always, is Christina Reynolds, who will have some great worship for us. And today, I'm really happy to have a very dear friend of mine on with us. And she is I'm going to put my glasses on because I just want to make sure that you get this right, because Pastor Kemi Colioso leads the Courage Women's Conference, of which I've been blessed to be a part of. And it's just an amazing conference in London that reaches so many young women with breakthrough, really, tons of breakthrough. She also co-pastors Jubilee Church of London with her husband, Tope Colioso. Welcome to the sessions.
Thank you.
Kemi, this is a very odd way to meet.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to have you on. And you know, I thought that when we got to do this, we would be in studio in London, but
so did I.
but the world and the Lord, I think, has a different plan for us right now. So it's lovely to meet you in your home.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you. How have things been in the UK, you know, in the church, in ministry, in your reach? How are you finding all of this?
Like everybody, it a little bit crazy, to be honest. I mean, when we first of all went into lockdown, I think everyone just sort of, especially in ministry, you just sort of all hands to the deck, what do we need to do? Right. So it's been quite busy. But God has done amazing things. He really has. And so grateful to God that we are able to continue to reach out and do what God's called us to do. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. Have you been able to really take advantage of social media and these things? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were quite, I think for us at church, we were quite fortunate. So my boys are musicians, and they were in Southeast Asia when the whole COVID thing broke out. Over there, they were in Singapore and Indonesia, so a lot of their gigs got cancelled. And because they were kind of ahead of us in the whole COVID thing, they then rang home and said, listen, something's coming our way, you guys need to brace yourself. And there was a church in Singapore that we were watching quite closely, and we thought, okay, we need to actually get up and be ahead of the game, because it's definitely going to happen here. So I think just the week before we went into lockdown, my husband just said to the whole church, listen, COVID, this is what might be happening. If it does happen, this is what we're going to do. We're a church of small groups. That's what we call ourselves. A church of small groups that meets on a Sunday. And so he's like, as soon as it happens, if we get locked down, go into your small groups and we'll do it virtually. And then we had a space that we converted into a studio. Uh-huh. And saying, look, you know, whatever the government lets us do, at least let's be prepared. Lo and behold, that week they shut everything down. So we were well placed, yeah. And everybody was new. And as a result of that, our small group attendance went up. We were able to put all our, so everything gets recorded and put out, and sermons, worship, small group live, which is our way of connecting with people. Because there's something about watching a message at home, but the church still needs to connect. And we were thinking, how can we make the church feel like they're still one body? So we thought small group live, which is, you have the chat option on YouTube, that which is our channel that we use. And we do that. And so we can chat with people. And so our Courage Women's Breakfast that we do for the ladies, our Stronger Men's, everything just went virtual. And then we could interact that way. So I think in a way, praise God, the boys were in Asia at the time.
Wow, that's amazing. So they saw it at ground zero first.
Yeah, absolutely. They saw big churches just sort of not meeting, and just the confusion that ensued after that. And the other thing that's been quite interesting, so for us as a leadership team, was one of the things we wanted to make sure we did was contact everyone that we thought was vulnerable and elderly, which meant all the pastors were on the end of the phone. We had a long list of people we were phoning up. How are you doing? Are you okay? We also run a food bank, and the demand for the food bank went up 300%. Wow. It just shot. It went through the roof, and people in church just got together and just gave money to the food bank, gave food, gave everything. So it's, in a way, you know, COVID is awful. What's happening is awful. But where you see the church working well, it's a beautiful thing. Where it's no longer about the building we gather under, it's about people connecting, it's about feeding one another spiritually, but also being Jesus to the world. And so, you know, going around to our neighbors and saying, this is who we are. If you need anything, let us know. And by the time we did that, the council thought, oh, hang on a minute, what's going on there? There's a church, you know, doing lots of lovely things. So they started giving us things as well. So they're like, what do you need? What do you need? You know, do you need a van? Do you need this? I mean, I volunteered at the food bank. I mean, people were desperate. People were desperate. So it's not enough to just put out sermons every Sunday and have the worship. You've got to get out there and be amongst the people, no matter who they are, Muslims, you know, Hindus, whatever. We were just like, what would Jesus do? Let's go back to that old saying.
Exactly. I've been saying it a lot lately. You know, you it's really the, it, you know, was like kind of a funny little joke on a wristband, right? At one point, what would Jesus do? But it really is the question that we should be walking through our day with and asking constantly. You know, yes. It is, what would he do in response to everything? And I think that this whole situation has presented such a beautiful opportunity for us to be the light of the world.
Yeah. I mean, if my, one of the things in the back of my mind is for every single person that came into contact with the church, be it they accidentally fell on the YouTube channel or someone sent them the link or they came into the food bank, that they would go away thinking, I never knew Christians were like that. They would go away with a positive view of Christianity, of a positive view of Christ. You know, whether they become Christians, that for me, it's about every little helps. You know, there's a supermarket here that's got a strap line, every little helps. You know, you might be that little bit that sets that person on the journey to Christ. Right. And who knows, you know, weeks, months, years down the line, they might say, you know what, there was this thing going on, you know, in 2020, and I met some Christians. Yeah. And it's almost like having that on your heart with every single person you meet out there and say, actually, yeah, what would Jesus do? I want to be Jesus's feet, hands, mouth to the world.
It challenges us to really and truly check our hearts for love, because you have to care about other people. It you know, and I think when you're forced out of your comfort zone, I love that you said, you know, we're forced out of the buildings. It's not about the buildings. And it's true. It's true. And I know we've been speaking to different guests in these last few weeks about how interesting and unique it is that, you know, here in the States, street witnessing and street evangelism, it was always my husband's love. And I always, and it's something that he used to do with my son through university and my son's friends. And I just thought, this is so odd. These 19-year-old boys who would get together and they would pray and they would ask the Holy Spirit for clues. They called it treasure hunting. Yeah. They would take these clues and then they would go out and canvass the city and look for these clues. And each of these clues every time, and I'm not kidding you, every time led them to a situation where there was a salvation waiting. Someone was going to be saved. And I mean, it was the most remarkable thing I witnessed for 4.5 years, 5 years through his university experience, that where I really saw God is real. And if we will love, if we will just seek to love the way that he loves, he will turn up for us and give us power, his power, to reach people. And so I think what you say is so important, because it's easy, I think, when you're busy with the business of the building, to forget the heart for the people.
Yeah. You become so focused on, you know, on Sundays. Yeah. You become so focused on gathering en masse. How many people came this Sunday? Well, you know, this has just shown us that it's not about that. You know, every single person counts, not just, you know, it's not just the crowd, it's the individual. And it's about making a difference in every single person's life. And we can do that. And, you know, social media, you know, being able, technology, praise God for technology, because there are people who would never have stepped foot into a church, but they are logging in and they're listening. We had people giving their lives to Christ saying, I've just prayed the prayer. So we set up a prayer room so people could contact them. We had people coming online saying, this is my first time. I'm logging in from, where was it, India. I'm logging in from Germany. I'm logging in from Italy. Somebody logged in from United Arab Emirates.
Wow.
I was moved to tears because I thought to myself, maybe she hasn't fellowshipped in a long time. Maybe there's an underground church there. I don't know. But she, every Sunday she's there. Hi, it's me from UAE. Praise the Lord, you know. You know, or right across Africa. Now, if we were so about the building, that wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But now the gospel is reaching people far beyond where we could reach if all we did was gather on a Sunday.
Yeah, I know that Christina has a heart for small groups. Because will you make a conscious effort after this ends to not return maybe to church the way that you were doing it before?
Absolutely. So like I said, we are so grateful that we've always been a church of small groups. Mm-hmm. What things are going to look like at the end of all this, we don't know. But one thing we do know is that our virtual presence will carry on. Our small groups will carry on. Our small groups will continue as they grow. So what we do is when a small group grows to a certain number, we ask them to please divide so that people can continue to feel connected. We will continue to do life as we've always done in our small groups. You know, we've just, so for the summer, we put small groups on a break because it just gives the small group leaders a bit of a break. But people still carry on. Break or no break, they're still having their socials. They're still there. So we will carry on doing that. By God's grace, have virtual small groups as well, not just physical ones. But you know, when these things end, I think it's about doing things together. It's not either or, but it's and.
And, yeah, exactly. You know, brings me to, I guess, since as we start, just an interesting question about what effect and what impact has this had just on you being not just, you know, not just a pastor, but also a wife and a mom. You know, I thought about this when you said my kids were in Southeast Asia or in Asia, and I thought, oh, okay, well, I don't know what kind of fears that would have taken me through. And then, you know, and then you're still, you know, you're a wife, and now how do we, how is the house running? How is anything running?
Yeah, so the boys actually, they went on tour in early February. And it was a long tour. So they'd done, I think they had done, they were doing New Zealand, Australia, you know, the whole, that whole area. So I was already, you know, make sure you call me, mom, you know, we're at the other end of the world. The times don't match up. Yeah, but text me. How's it going? You know, that kind of attitude already. But constantly reminding myself, they're in God's hands, they're fine. And then they came home and the older one had to go straight into quarantine. He went straight into quarantine in his flat. And the younger one came home because he lives at home and went to quarantine in his room. So it was like, it was sort of like, I'm home, but don't come into my room. I will come to the kitchen and then I'm disinfecting everything because obviously they're coming from somewhere that's had quite an outbreak. So here's me, you know, Pastor Kemi, Mum Kemi with the disinfectant and the hand gel and the hand wash, and then trying to ring people and make sure they're okay. And then doing the neighbor thing. So in our area, I put a leaflet in everyone's door saying, are you okay? If you're not okay, I think I went into overdrive. I think, to be honest, I kind of went a little bit overboard. And then I was trying to volunteer for everything. So I volunteered. I was like, you know, my background is nursing. And I'm like, they need a nurse. They need nurses. So my colleague rang me. She says, will you come back to work? I said, yes, of course I would. And my husband said, what do you mean? We need you here. There's a long list of people who need looking after. Of course you can't go back to work.
Right.
So then I had to ring them. I said, sorry, I can't come back, but I can ring people. I can ring, you know, I think the danger is to go into panic mode.
Yeah.
But to remind myself that it's not, I'm not in control. God is. You know, at the end of the day, you have to take a step back, do what you need to do practically, and then hand it and just say, Lord, I leave it in your hands. You know, you need to guide me, you need to direct, but I'm not going to spin out of control here. So to be honest, I spun out of control for about a week, and then I gathered myself. I said, if I carry on like this, it's burnout. So figure out where you want to volunteer, what you want to do. And then I also was quite concerned about the children. So I wanted to make sure that we had content for the children. I wanted to make sure the boys were well. And yeah, so it was, Mum Kemi went into overdrive.
How, Kemi, you know, and what advice would you give to viewers who are watching around the world about facing challenges, you know, with faith and still being able to make our faith a part of our day?
Yeah. I think for me, it's always been a thing that, you know, challenges are part of life. You know, challenges are part of life. You know, even Jesus himself said, you know, in this world you will face tribulation, but take heart, because he's overcome. So it's about acknowledging. Let's not bury our heads in the sand and say, you know, we're Christians, we're going to float on this holy cloud. No, these things happen. So acknowledge that they happen. But also just, you know, we are not God, he is. And it's about relinquishing. We, as a people, we like control. We like to know what's happening, when it's happening. And I think for us as Christians, it's about saying, okay, I know this is happening, but we hand it to God. It's, you know, this is his world. Let's not spin out of control. Let's relinquish a bit of control to the one who made the universe and not think that we can sort it all. But also it's about actually remembering his word. And for me, the whole of this COVID season has taught me how important it is to know the word of God, to dig into God's word and to know what it says. When you don't know what it says, then you panic about everything. But if you know that God says, you know, my peace I give to you, then you know actually God has given me peace. If you know that God says, I will protect you, I will be with you, then these are things that you recite and you pray and you live by, and it keeps you grounded. And also to remember that actually, you know, nothing in this world, God's not going to give us anything that's going to overtake us or overcome us. That, you know, he's not going to give us more than we can cope with. And with that in the back of your mind, yes, it looks dreadful. Yes, it looks hard. But remember his promises. Remember his power. This is a God who created the universe. This virus is tiny, weeny, 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 weeny compared to what our God can do. Mm-hmm. And maybe God is, you know, I'm not saying that God sent the virus. No. But look for positives in every season of life. In every season, you're going to have challenges, but look for what God is saying in that season. Every time I'm in a difficult place, my prayer is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? What are you showing me in this season? And just remain in community. Don't be a solo Christian, because you will spin out of control if you're just doing it by yourself. You know, ring someone up and say, look, I'm feeling like this. Iron sharpens iron. You know, I'm not saying I've been jolly and happy right through this. You know, that very first week, I had friends that I could say, look, I'm worried about this. You know, especially when the boys, like, their flights got diverted so many times because airports were closing down. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, are they going to make it home? Are they going to make it home? Well, before I spin out of control, I'm saying, Lord, I'm handing them to you. They're your kids. But I'm ringing my friends up and saying, actually, I need you to speak positive words over me right now.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think about the scripture, all things work together for good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For those who love the Lord. And for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes, right? And I really, yes. I want to emphasize that part of it.
Yeah.
The end part of that scripture, because sometimes I think that I look at the way the world is going through this situation and then I look at the way those who love the Lord are going through this situation. And then I look at the way those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. I look at how so many ministers and pastors and teachers have gone into, as you said, overdrive. You know, so many of us have gone through it with a faith that, certainly in America, it's with a faith that seems crazy to, I mean, some of our governors or local authorities. They, you know, I mean, we have a bit of a fight because churches, you know, don't want to close, but governors will open bars, but they want the churches closed, you know? Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing. And do you think, and I'd love to hear your comment on this, do you think that the way that people who love the Lord go through this is in fact different than the way that perhaps non-believers and people who don't know the Lord are going through this?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think when you, and that's why knowing, not just knowing the Lord, but knowing the word is important. If you know the word, then you know that, you know, like you said, all things will work together for good. If you don't know the word, then you're going to act exactly like people of the world. But, you know, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So we have a totally different system that we submit to. Yes, we're in the world and we do what the government says within reason. You know, we obey laws and things like that. But we know that actually this is not it for us. And so there is the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, there's a peace that as a Christian you should have that the world doesn't understand. It's that kind of peace that everything is going crazy around you, but you remain stable, you remain constant. There is a peace that God gives us on the inside that we need to tap into at times like this. And then we need to be that voice to a world that's going crazy, saying, actually, you know, if they look at you and say, why are you not panicking? Well, it's because I have Jesus on the inside of me. You know, there is, I was talking about joy the other day, you know, as in rejoicing, and how in Habakkuk it says, you know, though the fruit, you know, the fruit tree doesn't blossom and this doesn't happen, there's no herd in the store, yet will I praise him and I rejoice in the God of my salvation. And so what that's telling me is that things are going crazy. Things are not working out well. But as a child of God, you've got to remember that he's in control and you praise him through the circumstances. You don't crash because of the circumstances. It's while you're walking through those circumstances, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And that's what brings you through and lifts your countenance and gives you peace.
Amen to that. It's true. Christina, I don't want to hog all of Pastor Kimmy's wise input. If you have a question, please feel free to jump in or comment. Are you guys meeting in small groups, Christina?
We're same thing through virtually as well. Fortunately, where we live, it's not as shut down as it is. I think California is getting the brunt of it, and there is a real war. I just do want to comment on what you said, Pastor Kemi, about just the four walls breaking down and how you're able to actually impact, I mean, real life people outside of the four walls. I feel like that's been kind of a theme that's been brought up even in the last sessions that we've had. And, you know, do you see this as a gift from God, even of changing our mind and retraining us for actually being witnesses of the gospel?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day and I said, you can count on your fingers how many times the Bible says that Jesus was in the synagogue or in the temple. But we seem to want to spend all our time in the church building. But actually, Jesus was on the road. Yeah. You know, that's where he did his ministry. So it's, you know, it's forced us out there into the real. It's uncomfortable. The real world is uncomfortable. I mean, I live in London. It is multicultural. It's diverse. I love it to bits. We have every single religion under the sun here. But if we stay put in our buildings and if we don't reach out, and this has given us an opportunity to use something that everybody needs to reach out. Everyone needs love. Everyone needs to hear that word of comfort in this time. And we are so well placed to do that. I mean, our food bank serves on a Tuesday 3 times a week, and then I go there and I pack up boxes, and this man comes to the door and he rings the bell on a day that we weren't doing food bank, and he says, you know, I was told to come on this day, and he was getting really irate and really upset about it, and I was getting upset because I'm thinking, well, it's not the day we open. And a little voice in my head said to me, what's the matter with you? The food is there, give it to the man. You know. So I went and I packed him a bag and I gave it to him. I said, I'm, you know, here, you do you want me? And I thought, go the extra mile. Do you want me to call you a cab? What do you want me to do that will help you? And, you know, this guy just looked at me and he said, thank you so much. He said, and then he looked up, he goes, does a church run this? And I went, yeah. You see that little thing, he's going to go away thinking the church does more than just preach. We actually do the works as well. We're not just preachers of the work, but we preach with our action. So I think it's a huge opportunity. And you know, it's a bit like the window. A window has opened, and every single one of us has a responsibility to get up and do something, even if it means crossing the road to your neighbor and saying, is there anything I can help you with? We had a neighbor down the road who never spoke to us. We'd wave at him all the time. He never said a word back to us. He was always grumpy at the boys, you know, and I just said to the boys, just ignore him when they were growing up. Well, I put a card through his door and I put my phone number on it. And I said, if you need anything, do it, because they were elderly. And he sent me a text back, the most beautiful text ever. He said, thank you so much. I can't believe people like you still exist. Wow. Now, if every single one of us gets up, you know, and shows a little kindness, imagine, you know, when you show someone kindness, there's a ripple effect. That person goes ahead and wants to be kind to somebody else. If every one of us as Christians gets up and does what the Bible says we should do, then it's gonna make
right.
just do what the Bible says.
Imagine, right, exactly. It's kind of, if we just do what Jesus said to do, what Jesus did, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, we're gonna stop right here. We're gonna take a break until next week. We have we've been talking about what you can do in the body of Christ, because for all of you watching, you're a part. You're invited to be part of the body of Christ, and you are part of the body of Christ. And so what we can do is what you can do where you are in your sphere. And it all revolves around, I think, honestly and truly making Jesus your role model and loving others. I mean, if you love others, you'll be looking for what you can do to help in this time of need. So I'm Cynthia Garrett, and we're going to be back next week with my dear friend and my sister in Christ, who pastors a lovely church there in London, and Pastor Kemi Colioso. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
See you guys.
It's step by step, day by day, moment by moment, I'm pressing.